Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to the Archbishop Nick Podcast, your source for uncompromising truth and prophetic prayer-driven teaching from the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. Today, the Archbishop delivers a profound teaching titled Contradictions. He explores the critical bridge between believing and manifestation, revealing why many struggle to see their faith become reality. Drawing from Matthew 6:24 and the book of Romans, he exposes the danger of spiritual dual citizenship, warning that you cannot govern from the spirit while remaining tied to the flesh. Prepare to have your spirit alignment challenged as you learn to navigate the opposing kingdoms of the spirit and the flesh to secure your victory in Christ. Now, here is Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams.
And put your hands together and say something. Hallelujah. You know, one of the scriptures that we must always give thanks to God for is Psalm 116 verse 8. 116 verse 8 is done. So when we are praying the scripture, we pray it in a form of thanksgiving that he has already delivered my soul from death and my eyes from tears and my feet from falling. Tell two people that you are delivered from death. Your soul is delivered from death, your eyes from tears, your feet from falling. So it's not something that is now going to happen that you have to pray for. It's already done. So can you give thanks for that? Come on. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Say, my soul have escaped premature death. My soul has escaped premature death. My eyes has escaped tears, and my feet has escaped falling. You believe it? Put your hands together and give God praise. Hallelujah! With your hands lifted up. Majesty, worship His Majesty. On to Jesus be your glory, power, and praise. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Yeah. Anna is lifted up, say in the name of Jesus, name above every other name, from the throne room perspective, from where I am seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers, I hereby command the lifting of the veil. I pull back the curtains. I destroy the veil. I command revelation. I command illumination. As I put my hands together in the name of Jesus, I pull back the curtains. Destroy the veil. Command illumination, revelation, and light in the name of Jesus. Kadidimu Kasala, O Kisalamasa, Yalanda Kusalin, Kilibobu Solondeba, Kayala Hakasundasa. Amen. Amen. Before you are seated, I want to welcome every one of you in-house and online, all across the nations of the world, to a service already in motion. You are about to have an experience and an encounter like you've never known it before. So put your hands together. Take a minute, welcome one or two people to church by giving them a high five. Tell them it's great to have you in the service. And those of you online, I want to take the opportunity personally to welcome you to church, wherever you are, home or abroad, domestic and external. Welcome to the house. Once again, put your hands together and give him praise. Hallelujah. Before we pray, and also during the time of the teaching, there will be times and moments as led and inspired by the Spirit of God, I will pause and go into prayer and we'll continue. So please understand my style of doing things. Say amen. Today I'd like to talk to you about a subject that you might have heard me talk about it in many ways, and repetition is necessary for clarity. And every now and then we must revisit some of these fundamentals. And we need to remind ourselves of Scripture, who we are, what Scripture says we are, against what we think we are, because the lack of awareness and consciousness of who we are based on the Pauline revelation or the revelation of the new creation realities, we may live, like the Bible says, as ordinary men. The other day, the greatest and the strongest man that ever lived by the name of Samson said to a hired assassin by the name of Delilah. He said, "For I am a Nazarite. I'm a Nazarite. I'm a man under a vow. And razor has never touched my head," said Samson. So he said, "In the day that razor touches my head, I will be like any other man." And so until he broke his vow, he was not like any other man. He was unique. He was different. He was distinguished from others. Outstanding. A curse breaker, a game changer, a warrior, a winner, one that was more than a conqueror. He was a wonder to his generation. People could not make sense of who he was. He was unpredictable. His generation could not figure him out. He had something that others lack. The dude was strong. He wasn't like anyone else. You are a peculiar nation. You are a holy generation. You are not like anyone else. And you need that awareness and consciousness to live that life. Tell somebody, "I am unique. I'm very different. I'm not like anyone else. I'm different. I am a wonder. I'm a curse breaker." Ladies and gentlemen, that awareness and consciousness is necessary for you to become what Scripture says you are. Until you have the awareness of what Scripture says you are, you will live below your capacity and dignity. You will live like everyone else, but you are not like anyone else. Even your thumbprint is different from any man or woman upon the face of the earth. You are unique. You are different. Irrespective of how you see yourself, it has nothing to do with your identity in Christ. I am the righteousness of God, not because of any righteousness of my own or anything that I have done. I am the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did. The blood he shed, his finished work, he paid the price. When Jesus said the other day, "It is finished, it is finished," mission accomplished. Ladies and gentlemen, may I submit to you that when he said, "It is finished," he meant just that. It is finished. It is done. What does that mean? It means that everything you and I require to live life, godliness to its fullest, and in the natural, to live life to its fullest, has been provided in the work done on the cross. Nothing was left undone. Everything it requires for you and I to live a victorious, triumphant, and a successful life from the day you got born again to the day Jesus returned, or to the day you check out, when the curtains are brought down, when the dust settles and water finds its level, and you are done. Modaluku sala, Ayalin Kumahasin Kupali Kadalawasa. Until that day, everything required for you to be in good health, to have a sound mind, and to live as a victor, as a more than a conqueror, to the coming of the Lord Jesus, or till the day you are done and you depart this earth, is accomplished. It's done. There is nothing more God can do for you and I outside of what is done. As a matter of fact, your healing and my healing was done, provision provided, and the price for our healing, our redemption, forgiveness, and everything we ever require, it's all done in that finished work. So when Jesus said it is finished, it means that you and I don't have to pray for healing in the real sense, because we were healed. And if we were, then we are. And we don't have to pray for prosperity because he became poor that we might become rich. We don't have to pray to be righteous or to be holy because he became sin who knew no sin, that we through him may become the righteousness of God. We don't have to pray to have power over the devil and over demons because he overcame them, destroyed principalities and powers. Colossians 2:15. And he didn't just have victory over them. When the Bible says he spoiled or destroyed them, it means that they are disarmed. It means they are stripped. It means they are incapacitated. It means they are demobilized. It means that their ability to carry out their assignment has been taken. They don't have the power they used to have before. They may have it over the believer, and not over the believer who understands and knows and have the consciousness and the awareness of who he is. And I see a lot of contradiction when I look at what scripture says and the benefits of redemption, and I look at the lifestyle and the state of the believer. It troubles me, and when I listen to the confession of the believer, I worry a lot every day, even yesterday. Anytime I speak to a believer and they open their mouth, I can hear contradiction and it bothers me. And I want to remind you and I that for whatever reason, God never intended for a lot of the things happening in our lives to happen. That is not the will of God. That is never the plan of God. And I was telling them at the all night on Friday, thank you for those of you who attended. I look forward to engaging you more at the Friday prayer meetings. Thank you. And I'm looking forward for the rest of you who haven't yet made up your mind to attend, to realize that God is counting on your prayers. Heaven depends on you to stand in the gap, because whenever you don't pray, you give the enemy the legal right to do as he please. I give an example that when you get to the traffic light here and the light is red and people are crossing, it is their right to cross because the red means you have to stop. But for whatever reason, if you choose not to stop and to drive through, and you hit and kill lives, or wound them. The traffic light is not designed to arrest you. It's the law enforcement agent given the authority by state to enforce the law against the rebellion and the disobedient. And so there will be a need of police to chase you, apprehend or arrest you, and bring you to justice. Where there is no police, whoever broke that law and killed or wounded those lives can go free because there is no law enforcement agent. May I submit to you that based on the principles of the kingdom and the finished work of Christ, that you have been given the mandate as the law enforcement agent of the kingdom, as a citizen of the kingdom, you have been given the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions, to hold demons responsible, to bring them to justice. And until you do so by standing in the gap, enforcing and superimposing the scriptures and the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb over the adversary, demons will freely do as they please. They will go to town, kill, steal, and destroy even you by ignorance, and nobody can stop them. Jesus said in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow the law enforcement agents of the kingdom who are the new believers in me. For in my name they shall cast out devils. In Luke 10:17, the Bible says that demons are subject to the believers through his name, not through our righteousness, not through who we are or how long we've been born again, but demons are given instructions and they are under the authority of the Most High to be subject at the name of Jesus. For it is written, at the mention of his name, every knee of things that are in heaven and that are on earth and that are under the earth, irrespective of what they might be, must bow the knee. And if you look at Ephesians 1 and verse 21, it's very clear what these things are. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and that name, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, in his name, all of these entities and persons without bodies and deities and cosmic powers must bow the knee at the mention of his name and must confess his lordship, that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does it mean to be Lord? It means he's the head of them all. Colossians 2:10. We are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. Then Luke 10:19, behold, Bible says, I give unto you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. All the powers of the enemy. That includes principalities and powers, dominion, thrones, might you name them, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that is what it is. It's just what it is. Now, having the consciousness of what the Bible says, or the awareness, is necessary to define your identity or who you are. But it's one thing to believe everything I've said, It's another thing to experience what the scripture says. And that is where my message comes in. Contradictions. Contradictions. The bridge or the gap between believing and manifestation, that is where the contradiction is. Come with me, if you please, to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, reading from the 8th verse to the 10th verse.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
So he said, the word of God, which is the word of faith that we preach, is near thee. It's in your mouth, is in your heart. So the word is not far away. And this is what the contradiction is. The contradiction has to do with us speaking and saying things that are contrary to what the word says. Whenever you say, I'm sick, I'm not well, that is reality, but it's a lie. The Bible said, let every man be a liar, and let God be true. So the Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 5, that by his stripes we were healed. So if we were, then we are. So whenever you say, I'm sick, I'm not feeling well, in the natural, it is true. It's reality. But in the spirit, and scripturally speaking, it's a lie. It's a lie because scripture says the price is paid. Jesus said it is finished, so you are healed. Now, you don't wait to be well and to be healed in order for you to say by his stripes, I was or I am. You keep saying by the belief. The belief is the awareness and the consciousness that I was. And if I was, then I am. And if I am, then I'm not sick. But the reality here, where people will always say, you are living in denial, that is sense knowledge. That is the perspective of man, that you are not facing reality, you are living in denial. It is denial in the natural, but in the spirit, it is a lie when you say you are sick. Now, I want you gentlemen to come in the red tie. Please come. I want to demonstrate something for you to understand that the same vehicle by which and through which you were born again, and you still believe you are born again, and no one can confuse you about being born again, is the same vehicle, same method and channel through which and by which we receive healing, prosperity, righteousness, holiness, long life, protection, and deliverance from any evil. It's the same vehicle. There's no difference between you're being born again and you're being healed. So let me explain this to you. Sir, are you born again? Are you going to heaven? You believe you're born again. Now, what is the basis of your argument and audacity, confidence, and the fact that you are born again? I don't believe you are born again. Can you bring some microphone out? I want to find out why this guy has the audacity to question my doubt of his salvation. I have a doubt about your being born again. Put the mic on your mouth. I really have an issue about this, your born again thing. I really do. I question it. I'll raise an objection to this your born again thing. What makes you think that you are born again?
Please, I have believed in my heart that Jesus is Lord and I have confessed him as my
Savior. You believe that?
Jesus is my Savior.
He's your Savior. Jesus, you believe it?
In my heart.
In your heart.
And,
you have confessed
with my mouth.
Confess with your mouth. Yes, therefore
I'm born again.
You believe that you are born again. That is just it. That is it. And how about if I say I raise an objection to everything you are saying? I have an issue with it. I don't believe you.
So long as I've confessed with my mouth, I believe I'm born again.
So long as you believe and you are confessed, you believe you are born again.
Yes,
based on what Scripture says.
Yes,
and I can't change your mind. You are sure about that?
Yes,
oh yeah? Well, put your hands together. Now, another thing I want to deal with here is, what citizen are you? You.
I'm a Ghanaian, sir.
You're a Ghanaian. Are you sure you're a Ghanaian?
Yes,
you don't look like a Ghanaian.
I'm a Ghanaian, sir.
You look something else. You look like somebody from the Caribbean.
Yes, sir. I'm a Ghanaian.
Are you sure you're a Ghanaian?
Yes, please.
How do you know you're a Ghanaian?
By birth.
By birth?
Yes, please. Yes, and by my parents and my grandparents are all Ghanaian. So
your
by that,
parents, everybody is a Ghanaian.
Ghanaian, so
you were
that,
born a Ghanaian.
Yes,
you have a Ghanaian citizenship.
Yes,
so I can't deny you of your identity.
Yes,
and consciousness.
Yes,
and who you are.
Yes,
you know that you are Ghanaian.
Yes,
and you also know that you are born again.
Yes,
because you believe.
Yes,
you've confessed.
Yes,
I can't challenge you on that. Now, I hear that you have some symptoms of some sicknesses and diseases. Is that correct?
No, sir.
You don't have anything?
No, please.
I see. Okay. So you really believe that you are fine?
I'm very fine, sir.
Nothing wrong of any organ of your body?
No, please.
And you are born again?
Yes, sir.
And you are a Ghanaian citizen?
Yes, sir.
And you are aware?
Yes,
that you are a Ghanaian citizen?
Yes,
you have a Ghanaian passport?
Yes, sir.
But not an American citizen?
No, please.
Oh, yeah? Okay, give him a clap offering. I'm going somewhere. Somebody say contradictions. And let me help you to make my argument, this thing that is really weighing on me and bothering me, because I see believers living in two worlds and in two realms. And that is where the issue is. You are a Ghanaian citizen. Nobody can confuse you about that. You have that awareness and consciousness that you are Ghanaian. But this is where the problem is. Some of you have dual citizenship. You are a Ghanaian, you are an American, you are a British. So you hold British passport and a Ghanaian passport. So you are subjected to two laws, two kingdoms, which are different from each other. So this is what the issue is. If you have a British passport and a Ghanaian passport and you break the laws of Ghana and you run to the British embassy, the Ghanaian authority, because you have a Ghanaian passport, have the right to demand from the British government to hand you up to the Ghanaian government because you are still a citizen of Ghana, even though you hold a passport, a British passport, as a citizen of the United Kingdom, because you have dual citizenship. Then number two, some of you, even though you have British passport or American passport or some European passport, you are subject somehow to the laws of Ghana and still subject to the laws of the United Kingdom or America. So you are living between two kingdoms, two nations. You operate sometimes like a Ghanaian, and when you are in Britain, you operate like British. Or when you are in America, you operate like an American. You come to Ghana, you operate like Ghanaian because you have dual citizenship. That is allowed in the natural, but in the spirit, it is not allowed. In the spirit, you are either a British citizen or a Ghanaian citizen. You must renounce one. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. So you are either a believer, the new man, or the old man. You can't have two citizenship. And this is where the contradiction is. You talk sometimes like the old man, and then you talk sometimes like the new man. So you are in between the new and the old, and belonging to the new and the old denies you the ability and the consciousness that is required and necessary for you to move from belief to manifestation. So you believe, but you never experience what you believe because you are torn between the old and the new. Ask somebody, you, where do you belong? I'll get you, so don't worry, I'll get you. Now, come with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit,
mm-hmm.
and the spirit against the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And these are contrary the one to the other,
mm-hmm.
so that they cannot do the things that you would.
So, the Ghanaian citizenship is in conflict with the British citizenship. And the British citizenship and the law of Britain is in loggerheads with the laws of Ghana. So, you are taxed by the British law as a citizen to pay tax there. And Ghana also has its taxes, which you are also expected to pay because you owe dual citizenship. So you are not a Ghanaian, you are not a full Ghanaian, neither are you a full British. You are in between the two citizenship. You are hedging. You are not a full British, neither are you full Ghanaian. In the natural, it's allowed, but in the spirit, it's not allowed. So in the spirit, you either renounce the old man and go with the new man, which is the spirit, or you are caught between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is the old man, what you used to be before your spirit got born again, and the spirit is your renewed man, the new man. So you are either going with the new man or you are either going with the old man. The new man says, by his stripes you were healed, so you are healed. The old man, which is the flesh, says, how can you say you are healed and you are whole when you have pains and aches and you are not feeling well and you are not doing well? You can't say that. So the spirit believes you are healed. The flesh says, you cannot be healed. You are living in denial. You can't confess what the word says. It is not true. So you try to confess the word, and the flesh says, stop all this foolishness. You have the pain. All your medical report points to the fact that you are not well. So what is this foolishness? I was healed. I am healed. You are not healed. So there is a contradiction between your spirit and between the flesh. Your finances are dropping, and you know that financially things are not moving the way it should. You have bills to pay and no new income is coming in, and the finances is dropping. And the spirit says, which is the new man, is saying here, the citizen of the kingdom is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want or lack for any good thing. Then the Spirit says, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then the flesh says, your God shall supply your what? You are a citizen of Ghana. Look at the economy. Look at the currency. Look at the dollar. Nothing seems to be moving. Stop this foolishness. You are a citizen of Ghana. What are you talking about, your God? Which God shall supply all your needs? According to what? His riches in what glory? It's according to the currency of Ghana. Stop this foolishness. Look at what the economy is going through. So there is always a contradiction. The spirit is saying one thing and the flesh is saying another thing, because you are caught between the flesh and you are caught between the spirit. You get tempted. You are tempted. You see this beautiful woman and your knees begins to shake. And the flesh says, this is the kind and type you can have. You can have her if you want to. And the woman says, you know, boy, anything you want. Anything. Just anything you want. It's a blank check. You can have me. I'm here for you. And your spirit man says, you can't do that. You are a new creation reality. You are born again. And you can't go around having sex without being married. Sex binds. You'll be in bondage. So you can't do that. You are a new man. You are above this. This is below you. And the flesh says, Charlie, you know you are flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Stop all this foolishness. The lady is giving you a blank check. Take this thing. When you forgive, you can ask God for forgiveness. He will forgive you. Stop all this foolishness. Contradiction. The spirit is saying one thing. The flesh is saying another thing. God understands that you are but dust. So just go ahead. You see this beautiful, handsome man, and the guy is just on your case. Since the day I met you, girl, I'm confused. I don't even know my name. I don't even know where I am, who I am. I can't sleep. When I close my eyes, I see you. When I try to focus, you are always on my mind. You gotta help me, girl. Save me, save me. Help me out of this, girl. And the flesh is saying, that is the flesh. That is human. That is human. And the spirit is saying, you are not flesh and blood. You are a spirit. The spirit is saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. So the spirit says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So don't yield. Don't give in. And then the flesh is saying, you are mortal. You are flesh and blood. This thing do happen. So stop fighting it. Stop confessing the word. It doesn't work. You know that everything in you has already fallen. You're already in the trap. So just yield. Contradiction. The old man is reminding you of who you were. The new man is telling you who you are. So you have two identities, two consciousness, and that brings about contradictions from believing what you believe to manifestation of what the word says is full of contradictions. Somebody say, Jesus. Come on, talk to me. Say, Jesus. Come with me to Isaiah 53, verse 1.
Mm-hmm. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
So, who has believed our report? The prophet is saying, who has believed the report of the Lord? There is the report of the Lord, and the report of men and the doctors. I went to do a test some years ago in the U.S., and they said I had ulcer, and I have to be on medication for the rest of my life. I can't fast, and I can't do some things. And I said, no, I need to fast. Fasting is necessary. It's part of my spiritual discipline. I have to fast. And the doctor said, I'm sorry. It is what it is. So they said, come back and do another text in 6 months. So I came back to Ghana, and I started laying hands on my stomach. And I said, I curse the life of the ulcer. I curse the seed of the ulcer. I command you to wither and die. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I prayed, laid my hands on my stomach for 6 months, and I began to confess. By his stripes, it is written, I was healed, and if I was, then I am. And all that time, the ulcer was still there. I went after 6 months, and I did another test. And the doctor said, there is a scar in your stomach as a sign that you had the ulcer, but it has healed. It has disappeared. What did you do? Amen? Then my cholesterol was high very recently. My cholesterol was high recently. And I'm dealing with some other issues. So when the cholesterol went high, the doctors were very, very worried that, Papa, your cholesterol is too high. And they were putting a lot of fear in me of what could happen because of the level of the cholesterol. Then my father in the faith, Idahosa, he died at 59. And one of the things that, apart from whatever it was, they said, I asked the doctor when I was there, I said, what happened? He said his cholesterol was too high. The cholesterol level was too high. So as soon as they said my cholesterol was high, I got very worried. And they had to put me on a certain medication. And that medication has a lot of side effects. And so I have different doctors. Some of the doctors said, you have to take it immediately. And my functional medicine doctor said, the consequence is too high. There are many side effects. So on one hand, you'll be fixing the problem, but you open yourself to other implications. You can't do this. So I said, what is the key then? So I was in London. I did the test again. The cholesterol level was still too high. Then I remembered that there was a medication that I used to take anytime my cholesterol level was high. And it's a vitamin. It's not allopathic medication. It's a vitamin. They call it, I think, Red Ease or something. So I remembered, and Rosa said, why don't you go on Red Ease? And I said, these vitamins, it takes time before they kick in. And the level where the cholesterol is, I need something about a month to bring it down, then I can go on the natural medicine. And the doctor said, no, 1 month is too dangerous. The implications are too much. Another doctor said, you have to do something before the 1 month, because anything can happen with your condition. You have to act immediately. So I said, I'll take my chances. So I began to confess the scriptures. And by his stripes, I am healed. I was healed, I am healed, but the cholesterol level wasn't changing. It was still there. So I went on this Red Ease, and I started confessing the word. A couple of weeks ago, I was in London. I took the Red Ease 3 days. I went and I did my blood test, and my doctor said, what have you been taking? And I said, why? He said, your cholesterol level is corrected. Your cholesterol level is back. And 2 weeks after, it came out that the medication they wanted me to take is a very dangerous medication, and medical science are prohibiting people from taking it because of the effects of that particular medication. Meanwhile, the same doctor who said I should take it was telling me that, listen, we've just discovered that this medication is not good, so we are trying something else. I am not a pig. You don't do try and error on me. Are you hearing me, somebody? Somebody say, contradictions. I'm not going to try and finish this message because it's a very serious thing that I'm trying to deal with. We all live in a contradiction. We live in the world of the old man the Ghanaian, and the new citizenship of the United Kingdom or a European country. So we have two passports. And these two cities, you see, if you are a British citizen and you are also a Ghanaian citizen, you are not allowed to hold certain office of authority. For instance, you can't be president of Ghana, nor vice president, nor hold any office of authority unless you renounce the other citizenship. In the realm of the spirit, until you renounce one citizenship, you can never operate in certain realms of authority in the spirit as a believer. The devil will always raise an objection, contend with you when it comes to the realm of authority you must operate in. So when you say in the name of Jesus, the demon will say, what name of Jesus are you calling? You are the sons of Sceva. You are not a full citizen of the kingdom. You don't have full rights to the name you are calling. So please take it easy. Stand down. You are still the old man. Why are you trying to invoke certain privileges that belongs to those who are full citizens of the kingdom? You're not a full citizen. You are flesh and you are spirit. You are in between. You're not a full citizen. James chapter 2 verse 19. James 2, 19, please.
Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
So believe is not enough. Tell somebody, believe is not enough. Yeah, say believe. Without confession of what you believe is not enough. Because when it comes to belief, even the demons believe. I know people who don't believe in God, and they make positive confession. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not talking about positive confession. I'm talking about faith confession. And faith confession is a product of the word. Romans 10, 17. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is the confession I'm talking about. That's why Christianity is called the great confession. So you can believe. And unless you confess what you believe, you don't have what you believe. So believe is not enough. Because even demons believe. But they can't confess what they believe. They cannot confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They won't confess that. They believe Jesus is Lord, but you never hear demons saying that Jesus is Lord, because Satan is their Lord, not Jesus. So they believe. That is a knowing, a consciousness, an awareness of who Jesus is, but they will never say he's Lord. Madula, Makadahalus, Melitukum, Selaitakasan, Kahafalun, Kisalama, Masu Lakin Kuduluku Salasafa. So two believers, one believes and confesses. Another believes the same thing but does not confess. So the one that believes and keep confessing the scripture will outlast the believer who believes and does not confess. So one believer dies premature. Another believer lives. So, God, didn't you say you satisfy us with long life? Psalm 91, verse 16. With long life, I will satisfy him, show him my salvation. So one believer believes it and keep saying it. Another believer believes it but does not confess it. Why? Because the Ghanaian citizenship and the physical citizenship or the flesh keep showing you a casket. and keep showing you your demise, and keep reminding you by projection that you are going to die prematurely. And as long as you keep hearing, you keep seeing, you keep having the consciousness of premature death, you are opening yourself to premature death, and you are attracting premature death, and so you end up dying prematurely. But when you see those caskets, and you keep seeing the grave, the mortuary, and your demise, and you say, no, no, that is not for me. That is not my portion. Psalm 91 verse 10. For there shall no evil befall me. Hey, no plague shall come nigh me or my dwelling. That is the word of God. Now, God does not respond. He does not respond to your fears, to my fears. He does not respond to our tears. He does not respond to our emotions. He watches over his word, not your word, not my word, not our fears, not our feelings, not our emotions, not our circumstances. He watches over his word, Jeremiah 1:12, to perform it. He performs his word, not your word, not my word, not your experience, not my experience, not the prophecy, but his word, his word, his word. Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. The angels excel in strength to do his command, not your command or my command or the command of our enemies. They do his command. They hearken to the voice of his word. Now, when the Bible says the voice of his word, the word itself does not have voice. You and I are the voice of the word. So what is the voice of the word? Your mouth and my mouth. It is your mouth and my mouth that gives voice to the word. So when the angels hear, when the angels hear, it is written, he has given his angels charge over me, Psalm 91 verse 11, to keep me in all my ways, to keep me by air, to keep me by land, to keep me by water, to keep me in my sleep, in all my ways. Immediately the angels are released, activated, deployed, engaged to go to work. They hearken to the voice of the word. They don't hearken to your feelings, my feelings. They don't hearken to circumstances. They don't hearken to feelings. They hearken to the word. Now, Hebrews 1:14. Quickly.
Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Is there any hell of salvation here? Is there anybody here who is a heir of salvation? A heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Come on. Anybody here? Come on. Anybody here? So, let me explain this to you. Kaduma Sala. Church, say contradictions.
Contradictions.
There's too much contradictions. So, we have to decide whether we are going to stay as Ghanaians. Flesh, old citizen or citizen of the new country we belong to. Other than that, the old or the natural man still have demands or claims on you. Then the new citizenship has claims and demands on you. So you are subject to the old law and subject to the new law. And it's a conflict. You can't belong to both. You can't serve two masters. The contradiction must come to an end. Put your hands together. Now, come with me to John chapter 19, verse 30.
When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.
So it is finished. It's done. So when he said, "God, heal me, heal me, heal me," I'm sorry, he's not going to heal you. He healed you 2,000 years ago. The price for our healing was paid 2,000 years ago. You need that consciousness and awareness that you were healed 2,000 years ago. And if you were healed, then you are. That means there is a gap between what you believe and the manifestation of your healing. So you need to work to bridge the gap between your belief and the manifestation. And what bridges the gap is your confession of what you believe. So until you say it, keep saying it till you see it, you are not saved, even though you believe it. And Satan will mess with you. He's very good at that. And that is what he does. See, I hear you. Come with me to Hebrews 9:12. Hebrews 9:12.
Neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Having obtained, talk to me, having obtained
eternal redemption.
Having obtained
eternal redemption.
So our redemption is what? Eternal. So it is not questionable. It's not questionable. You can't debate it. It is eternal. Once he obtained, having obtained an eternal redemption. So I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. Psalm 107 verse 2. Look at Psalm 107 verse 2.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say.
You see the same word in Hebrews 9:12? Same word here. Let who?
The redeemed.
Is there any redeemer of the Lord here? Is there anybody redeemed? Let him believe. Let him believe. Come on, talk to me. Let him believe.
No.
You see, let him believe sounds very religious. But it is not true. He didn't say let the redeemer of the Lord. And he used the word redeem how many times? How many times?
2 times.
Let the redeemer of the Lord do what?
Say so.
Keep silence. Say nothing. But what? Whom he has what? From? You have to say it. Because until you say it, you don't have what you believe. What you believe comes into manifestation when you say it. For instance, when you are afraid, and every now and then the enemy will threaten us. He will bring intimidation. He will bring fear. He makes suggestions of what will happen. You will die prematurely. You are not going to last. Your wife will be a widow. Your children will be fathered. He comes with things. You won't finish this thing you have begun. Somebody is going to take your office. All those are possibilities in the natural. But spiritually, it is not possible. Because spiritually, I have the right to block it. Spiritually, I have the right to override it. Say, I override those possibilities. Say, I override. I block the schemings and the manipulation of the enemy. In the name of the Lord Jesus, say, I issue prohibition orders. In the realm of the spirit, from the throne room perspective, I issue prohibition orders over those who scheme and devise my death and demise, and over those who take my picture, my name to shrines, to warlocks, to sorcerers, to diviners, to mediums, to carry out evil agenda and ill wills against me, I issue prohibition orders against them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let their mischief, conspiracy and expectation and imagination of me and my house be intercepted and backfire, 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 backfire in the name of Jesus. Backfire. Somebody say contradictions. Sit down for 2 minutes. Modala kafima dalus. Hey, kayala kusama. Madu lakisala. Iladu kasum. Bili tukun sikadula. Hebrews 3:1.
Therefore, holy brethren.
Give me the New
King James. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus.
The apostle and what?
High priest.
Of our belief. Our belief. But our what? So ask somebody, what are you confessing to him? What are you confessing to him? He's only in agreement to whatever you confess. Hear me carefully. You have to be very careful. You got to be careful of what comes out of your mouth. Because whatever comes out of your mouth, he will agree with you on it. Because he is the apostle and the high priest of our world. Confession. So when you say, I wish I died, he agrees with you. That is a self-imposed curse. It's a self-imposed curse. When you say, I wish I died. When you say, I'm tired. When you say, I'm weak. It's not true. That is the old man speaking. The new man says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The new man says, he renews my youth like the eagle. Psalm 105. The new man says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The new man says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's what the new man says. The old man says, I'm so tired. I'm so weak. I feel down. I am lonely. You are what? Lonely? You'll be lonely. I am not lonely. Loneliness is an indication that your water level is dropping. Loneliness is an indication that you are not full of the Holy Ghost. So whenever you feel low or lonely, that is the time to pray in other tongues. Laduka sala. Ayandaku sulun kayahatum. Masanda wahasiliki intoloma gayasala. Oh kisili apala. Akandu kum silindaka. You keep praying the Holy Ghost until the water level goes up and you are filled with the Spirit. And suddenly you don't feel lonely. Because you know what loneliness is? Loneliness is a pull and an invitation from the enemy to snare you and to get you to stumble or to err. So as soon as you are lonely, a call comes from an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend. Hey, I just saw your number. It's been a long time. Are you okay? Yes, I'm. Are you sure? Because I'm feeling you. Well, if you say, okay, it's fine, but you know I'm here. You know I'm always here. You know, nobody has ever done me like you did me. So it's an experience I can't shake off. It has always stayed and remained with me. So please call anytime if you ever need me. What I see done, they've sown a seed. They planted a seed. So they are waiting for a call from you. And when you hear that kind of a voice, you say, I override. I will not be ensnared. I will not be ambushed. I will not stumble. I will not err. I will not fall back. And you say, I override my emotions. I override my flesh. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I am a new man. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So you begin to speak the word, and suddenly that hold breaks on you. When you are afraid, you don't yield to fear. You declare, it is written, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of a sound mind, and of love. So you say, I refuse to be afraid. I block the spirit of fear, intimidation, and threatening. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I renounce the projection. I renounce the outcome of fear. In the name of Jesus, fear, you shall have no power. I strip, I deny you of your influence and invitation, claim and hold over my emotion, over my subconsciousness, and over my conscious mind. You shall have no power in the name of Jesus. Break! 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 Break off me! Come on, put your hands together. Listen. You can look at me without your old man look, like something is wrong with me. I don't care what you think about me. I'm just telling you that there is a contradiction. It's between the old man and the new man. And as long as you live, it will continue till the day you die. And listen, the earlier you become conscious and aware that this is a fight, it's a daily fight. The day you yield to the flesh takes over. The day you yield to the spirit takes over. It is what it is. I'm sorry. Okay. Mark. Mark chapter 11, quickly. Mark chapter 11, verse 23.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain,
whosoever shall
say,
whosoever shall
say,
ask somebody, what are you saying? Go ahead.
Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart.
Shall not. Where? In his head. So you can have doubts in your mind, but as long as you believe in your heart, what you say shall come to pass. So go ahead. Look at it.
And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says.
So, how many times of belief? How many times of belief? If he does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. How many times of belief? How many? One time. How many times of if he says? You see the saying? Whosoever shall
say
one, and then
he shall
be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he
saith.
How many times? He shall have whatsoever he. How many times of saying? Tell somebody, confession is important. Say, confession is important than belief. Okay, so go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Look at Romans 10.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the
if
Lord.
If thou shalt believe, but if thou shalt with your head, your thoughts, your emotions, but your word, tell somebody, watch your mouth, watch your mouth. Tell somebody, watch your mouth. Tell somebody else what is coming out of your mouth. Tell somebody, faith is expressed, released by your mouth. Say, fear is expressed, released by your mouth. Go ahead.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
So you say, you see, you are saved by confessing what you believe in your heart. You are not saved by believing. You are saved by confessing what you believe. Go ahead, verse 9.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Say, contradiction. Talk to me. Say contradiction. Say the gap between believing and manifestation is confession. So you see the thing here. You believe with your what? Heart. Unto what? Righteousness. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. An awareness. Consciousness. That if you confess what you believe, you shall be saved. Verse 11.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
So, you see that scripture there? I work with it every day. Because every day of my life, I'm threatened. Every day you see some strange things on social media. Something you never said. Something you don't even know where it comes from and what and you're not aware of. They put it out there. And these days they are able even to mimic your voice, your picture, your image. I mean, it's amazing the times we live in. And it just looks like it is you. You hear me speaking and you don't hear my voice, but they are writing something that I have said that I never said. And they are setting you up. I'm pushing you. Every day, something is going on to make enemies for you, to deploy people to come at you and to fight you and to misrepresent you. When I see those things, I take authority. I override those behind it. I test the mischief. I intercept the outcome. I override the implications. And anyone that will come against me without verifying this thing, whoever they are, wherever they are, let them be stripped of their powers. Yea, let them stumble and let them fall. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Go after them. Hold down that answers prayer. Make them like smoke that is carried by the wind. In the name of Jesus, say yes. I don't play. I don't ignore these things. These things, I don't ignore them. Somebody, oh, ignore them. No. You ignore it. I don't ignore it. I don't ignore the voice of the enemy. I'm better than that. I will not come after you in the natural. But spiritually, I will deploy the thunders and the lightnings of God. Spiritually, I will deploy, yea, the missiles of God. Are you hearing me? Spiritually, I will come at you. And I will declare you bankrupt. And I'll declare that another will take your power. Another will take your office. And I declare that the money and the influence you have shall slip out of your hands. Yea, that your protection will elude you. That your influence shall come to a halt. That any money, property, cars you drive in that you did not earn, you did not work for, but you manipulated, you lied, you destroyed others to get it, that you will not live long to dwell in that house, that car, you will not drive in it in safety, that another will take it from you. Listen, tell somebody, make no mistakes. Oh. Make no mistakes. I'm telling you. It's not everybody you touch. Hear me. I know you are powerful. I know you are connected. And I know you have masters and sorcerers and diviners and warlocks and mediums who work for you and you get away with things. But hear me. It's not everybody you touch and get away with. The day you touch me, your days will become few. The day you touch me, another will take your office. The day you touch me, your very master will suddenly disappear. His oracles will not work because I am operating from the throne room perspective, far above all principalities and powers, far above your masters. Talun, Kadun, Walahan, Kidun, Kasalan, Mahasulun, Wayala kitulu kasala. Melu kutunda kisa. Me kasala hada. Go ahead, give him praise. Now, let me try. Give me Numbers. Numbers 14, 28. Let me connect this to Hebrews.
Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you.
You hear what God said? That is Hebrews 3:1. The apostle and the confession of our high priest. The high priest of our confession. He said, truly, as I live, tell them that as they have confessed with their mouth, it has come into my ears, and I will do it unto them. I don't know what you are confessing to the apostle and high priest of your confession, but anytime you open your mouth, you are speaking death or life. Proverbs 18:21. Madus.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
What? Talk to me. What?
Death and life.
So when you open your mouth, the temptation to speak death instead of life is higher than speaking life. The tendency of speaking death is higher than speaking life. Then he said, death and life is in the power of your tongue. It's not in the power of your tongue of your enemies. You see, your greatest enemy is not Satan. Your greatest enemy is not demons or witches. Your greatest enemy is not the curse and the iniquity of your father's house or your mother's house. Your greatest enemy is the ignorance. Is the ignorance of your true citizenship, of who you truly are and where you are seated. Your greatest enemy is being between the old and the new. And the fact that you haven't yet accepted that you are the redeemer of the Lord. You haven't accepted Revelation 12:11. That you have overcome. And that this is how we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Hear me. That is your greatest problem. Demons are not your problem. Satan is not your problem. Your problem is the confusion of you being torn between two personalities, two citizenships. But the day you renounce one citizenship and stick to one and walk in that consciousness and awareness that I am the Redeemer of the Lord and that the blood of Jesus is not an historic event, that the blood was not shed 2,000 years ago and ended there. But the blood is alive. That the blood still speaks. That the blood is an ongoing thing. That the blood is on the mercy seat. That the blood speaketh. And by the blood I'm redeemed. And the blood is the basis of my enforcement. The blood is the basis of enforcement. The blood gives me the audacity to superimpose what is written over all forces of evil, irrespective of who they are. It does not matter the horns and how many heads of snake you've seen in your dreams. It doesn't matter how many times you've dreamt and seen casket. It doesn't how many times somebody has prophesied they are going to die. It doesn't matter all that. No prophecy is above what is written. No vision or dream is above what is written. Are you hearing me, somebody? I declare that whatever anyone is imagining of me and whatever has been projected of me and my house and this house and my nation, Isaiah 7:7, I proclaim from the throne room perspective, that saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Put your hands and say, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass.
Amen. Amen. Okay, come with me quickly. Come with me quickly. Mark chapter 5, 27 to 28. Lord God Almighty, my time is up.
When she had heard of Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch
his clothes. For she
said.
No, she believed. She believed. For she
said.
She said. Tell somebody, what are you saying with your mind? What are you saying? For she, if I can but what?
Touch.
And she. Matthew 18:18.
Verily I say unto you. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
So, a lot of you are waiting for God to move. But he's not moving. He's not going to move. He's waiting on you to move for him to move. You are waiting for Jesus to speak loud. And he said, I am the apostle and the high priest of your confession. You confess. And I'll confirm. Let your mighty power come down. Hear me. It sounds religious, but it is not scriptural. So stop singing it. No mighty power is coming from anywhere. Give me Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
So where is the power? The power is where? Is where? Let your mighty power. It sounds religious, but it's not biblical. Greater is he that is in heaven. Greater is he that is where? In who? Than he that is in. Hear me. We have to examine a lot of things in the light of scripture. There are a lot of songs that bound the choir from singing. Yeah. Like this song. You don't know. What is that? You don't have to worry. Sing it. Yeah. And don't you be afraid. Good. Joy comes in the morning. Trouble don't.
For there's a friend in Jesus.
Yes.
Who will wipe your tears away? And if your heart is broken, just lift your hand and say,
listen,
I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what.
That is it. This is why I stopped it. This is why I stopped it. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. I don't buy it. I refuse to allow anything to come my way. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. There shall no evil befall you. No evil. Then you say with your mouth, no matter what may come my way. How about if sudden death comes? Sudden destruction, premature death, shame, disgrace, Disappointment. I don't buy it. You can sing it. I'm not singing it.
We don't buy it.
Hear me. I used to enjoy that song. One day, the choir was singing it. I was sitting down, getting ready to preach. And they were singing it. And when they got there, the Holy Ghost quickened the word in me and said, what are you singing? No matter what, may come your way. No matter what. Death, premature death, sudden death, shame, disgrace, disappointment, reproach. Why are you singing it? You are asking for it. You are confessing it. The high priest of your confession is listening and is in agreement with you. So if you don't believe it, why are you singing it? Immediately I say, yay, Jehovah. I renounce every agreement I've made with the devil. I annul the agreement. I call for an annulment of any agreement I have made with Satan in the state of consciousness or unconsciousness, by error, by belief, by unbelief. I annul. So I listen to the songs these days. I don't just sing any song. I listen to the words. A lot. And I don't allow some songs in my life, in my house, and in this house. Some of the songs, I checked it. There's these three songs. They used to sing it a lot. Bam, bam, something, bam, bam, something, bam, bam, bam. I forgot the name. I was listening to the words and I said, ain't no bam, bam, bam here. Ain't nobody bam, bam me in the name of Jesus. I bang, bam, bam, whatever. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. You need to be careful of words. Oh. And you need to be careful of what enters into you. You know, there was a time I finished fasting. When I was going to, I was watching some series of movies. And when I woke up in the morning, I had finished fasting. My spirit was alive. Then I heard a song, Killing Me Softly. And I said, killing what? So I went back to the movie channel and I started watching. And there was that song in one of the series. Killing Me Softly. I've forgotten the words. Come on, those of you who were unbelievers before. You remember the words? What is it? If you used to be an unbeliever before. Don't act like you weren't there before. What is the song?
Killing me softly with his song. Killing me,
Killing me
softly with his song.
With his song. Killing me softly with his song. In the name of Jesus, killing me what? Ain't nobody killing me softly. I bind it in the name of Jesus. So immediately, I said, I command divine editing. Divine editing. Come out. Somebody say, come out. Somebody say, out, out, out. When I was saying that, I went to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom. Then Rose asked him and said, babe, are you okay? I said, everything is fine. He said, why are you shouting? I said, I ain't shouting. I'm dealing with killing me softly. Are you hearing me, somebody? You see, when I study Paul's life, and then I'll stop here. When I study Apostle Paul's life, looking at the different schools of thought concerning the thorn that was in his flesh, studying at the feet of Gamaliel, and the brilliance of the guy, I've come to the conclusion that Apostle Paul, the thorn in his flesh was his old man. The thorn in his flesh was his brilliance and mental and intellectual capability and brilliance. You know, one time Paul said something. He said, the things I wish to do, I do them not. And that which I don't want to do is what I do. Then he said, look at me, wretched and a sinner like me. That is the old man that was talking. Then he said, thanks be to God. That is the new man. Watch this. I came to a conclusion that Paul's problem was not demons or the devil. It was his old man. It was the conflict between the new and the old. his reasoning was standing in the way. He couldn't make the transformation from mental and brilliance and intellectual capability to the spiritual man. And that is the problem of a lot of you. Stand on your feet for now. Are you clapping? Your clapping is very suspicious. Joshua 1:8. Let me conclude with Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy head. Out of thy head. But thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall your economy, your job, your capacity, make thy way prosperous. Then shall your background give you good success. But then shall thou have what? Good success. So prosperity and good success has everything to do with meditating on the word. What is the meaning of meditation from the original language? Meditation means matter. And matter means to rehearse. Say rehearse. You know, before the choir comes to sing, if it just sang a song, somebody prayed for me. How many times did you rehearse it? Twice. She didn't just come to sing it. She rehearsed. So you must rehearse the word before the devil comes. Jesus rehearsed the scriptures. So when the devil came, he said, "It is written." Lift up your hands. Say, "Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the contradictions, the conflicts, the double-mindedness. In the name of Jesus in my life, say, I renounce my old man, the old citizenship that stands between me and my new citizenship. Say, I give up the old man for the full benefits of the new man. Say, I renounce my old passport so that I may receive the benefits of the new man, to walk in authority, to have authority. Say, right now, I pull back the curtains. I destroy the veil. I command illumination as I put my hands to you." Pray that prayer. I pull back the curtains. I destroy the veil. I command illumination in the name of Jesus. Now, look at these two scriptures. I want us to pray with. And then we'll pray for the government and those in authority. It is dangerous to live in a country and don't intercede for those in authority. A couple of weeks ago, on a Thursday morning, we were praying here. Those of you who come to Thursday morning. And at the point, I kept praying and I said, "Let's pray and prohibit national mourning." Those of you remember. And I said, "Let's pray for the president, for protection for the president and all the ministers of state." A few hours after the prayer meeting, I had a call that two of our ministers had a very bad accident somewhere in the north. And I said, "Do you understand what it means to be in a national state of mourning? Do you get it? It brings everything to a standstill. We can't afford that as a nation. The economy can't take that. Our currency cannot take that. The central bank can't take that. It affects our economy. Do you understand that you have to pray for our cocoa industry? Do you understand that we have to pray for the power sector, energy, oil, gold, the gold board, central bank, governor of the Bank of Ghana, minister of finance, then the national security coordinator, national security advisor, commander of the military, the Minister of Defense. I don't understand. Police, the IGP of police, you can't live in a country and not cover these people, because once you are asleep, you don't know what goes on. You don't know what comes. Listen, Ghana is in a very dangerous place in the sub-Sahara region. If you look at everything going on around us, our borders is not that safe. The border between Togo and Ghana on our high sea is a thin line. Anything can happen. There is a portion of Ghana that is in Togo, and there is a portion of Togo that is in Ghana. Then the border between us and Burkina, the border between us and La Côte d'Ivoire, you have no idea what these soldiers, national security, police, you have no idea what they go through. These people are exposed to danger every day. We have a lot of them in this church. They are exposed to danger every day, and they don't talk. They'll never tell you what's going on, because they don't want the citizens to be afraid. But there is a lot going on, I'm telling you. Because I have the opportunity to know a lot of things, not just in Ghana. There are intelligence I have outside Ghana, about Ghana. I know things about Ghana that I don't know it from Ghana, but I know it from outside. Makadula Madasala. Lift up your hands. Say, Heavenly Father, we pray for your protection over our president and all that are in authority. And we override the conspiracy over our president and all that are in authority, and our political parties, those in authority, those in opposition. Say, we override conspiracy, and we pray for national security, for the IGP, police, our armed forces. We pray for all that are in authority. Call their name. Pray for them. Minister of Defense. Pray. Chief of Staff. Pray for them. I pray for President Felix Tshisekedi of the DRC, that he will finish his course. He will not die in office. That all conspiracy against him backfires. Pray for the President of Ghana. Put your hands together. Lift up prayer for all these people. Somebody, go ahead. Come on, put your hands together. Pray for their protection in the air, on land and on water. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Are you praying? Are you praying? Now, give me Luke chapter 31. No, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. I want us to pray this scripture. Go ahead.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat.
Look at the solution to Satan's attack and plan.
But I have prayed for thee.
So that is what stops the enemy. Lift up your hands. Say, any plan Satan has for me and my family, for this house, for my nation, my president, those who serve this nation, our economy, the currency, and the governor of the Bank of Ghana, the gold board, cocoa board, energy sector, say, right now, I apply the blood of Jesus. And I deplore the warring angels to go to work on the behalf of my nation, my loved ones and family, home and abroad, domestic and external. Say, I intercept Satan's plan for my nation and my family. Put your hands together. Pray that prayer. We intercept Satan's plan for our nation, our children, our loved ones, our family, this house, this nation. Let Satan's plan for our family be canceled. Put your hands together. Apply the blood of Jesus. I cancel Satan's plan, destiny, and agenda for my nation, for this land, for our economy, our currency, for the governor of the bank right now of Ghana, and for the finance minister, those who manage our economy. In the name of Jesus, we unblock our fortunes, treasures, and nations. Cocoa ball, energy sector. In the name of Jesus, the gold ball. Lift up prayers in the name of Jesus. Now, Friday we'll continue with prayer dealing with the waters And what happens when we don't pray and prayerlessness? Friday all night from 12 midnight to 5 a.m. Thank you all those who came. And if you haven't come, I expect you this Friday. Amen. It's so very important. Before we take our tithes and offering, give me this scripture. Acts 27:22. Say, from now. Read it, please.
And now I exhort you to be of good cheer.
Uh-huh.
For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the...
Lift up your hands. Say, I declare, from the throne room perspective, between now and 31st December, on the calendar of 2026, I decree, I declare, before the elements of creation, before heaven and earth, that there shall be no loss of any life of mine, or that concerns me, or my nation, home and abroad, and force, declare it, put your hands together, there shall be no loss. There shall be no loss of the life of any one of mine that concerns us, this house, or this nation. There will be no loss. No loss of any life. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Say it. Thank you. Let's bow our heads. I know that time is of the essence and we need to close. But please make time for the Friday all night. And don't miss our Bible studies for the next couple of months. We are dealing with the three things that abide forever. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, love, and hope. These three things, you need them to get to heaven. As a believer, these are the three things that abide forever. Everything else will come to an end. But these three things will be with you till we get to eternity. You must have more faith. Faith, love, and hope. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here and you are not sure your name is written in the book of life, and you say, preacher, I want my name written in the book of life. Everything I have said is for the benefit of citizens of the kingdom. If you are not a citizen of God's kingdom, none of those privileges are yours. You are an outsider. When you arrive in America, JFK or any airport, they make an announcement. All citizens of the United States, welcome home. Please go to the right. And all citizens of other countries or foreign hold that passport to the left. So if you are not a citizen, there are some privileges you don't have. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. If you are not sure your name is written in the book of life, say, preacher, please pray with me. I want my name written in the book of life. If you are that, please show by hand. Let me pray with you quickly. We do not have time to waste. If your hand is lifted up, wherever you are, please come. Come to me right now. Brother, come. Anybody else, come. If your hand is lifted up, come, please, come. Come quickly. I want my name written in the book of life. Please come. Please come. Come quickly. Don't delay. Don't waste time. A time will come when it will be too late. A time will come, it will be too late. Yeah. Esau repented, but it was too late. A day will come when it will be too late. Right now, you have all the time, but time is of the essence. Time is not yours. One day, you will repent, but it might be too late. Say, Heavenly Father, I acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I confess with my mouth, according to Scripture, that he's risen from the dead and is my Savior. Amen. Look at me. Please turn around. There's a gentleman standing there. Go to him. He has something to give you and come back. Put your hands together for them as they go. Are you clapping? Now, I want everyone who is a tither, come forward with your first fruit, your tithes, your vows. If you made a vow and you haven't honored it, and you have it, please come forward with your vow. And hear me. Gratitude not expressed is ingratitude. And whenever you express gratitude, if it is not in proportion to what God has done for you, it is also ingratitude. Gratitude expressed must be in proportion to what God has done for you. So don't hold back anything that is due God or his house. Gratitude not expressed is ingratitude. Gratitude expressed not in proportion with what God has done in your life is also ingratitude. Please come with your tithes, first fruits and offerings, and please stand with your offerings, everybody. Whatever your offerings are, please stand. And always don't be in haste to leave church. Always, as much as possible, wait for the closing prayer. And also learn to connect with others. Connectivity. Learn to connect with others. Don't be one that show us and always run, and you are not connected to any member of the body. Your body is made of many members. So this thing of you come in and check out before we close. Nobody knows you. You don't know anybody. It's not good. Stand, please. Stand with your offerings. Stand, stand, stand. Stand, stand with your offerings. Lift it up above your head. Say in the name of Jesus, I declare my hands are blessed. My finances are blessed. My treasures are blessed. My assets are blessed. Say, my finances are blessed and not cursed. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I intercept any spoken curse, written curses, and inward curses against my finances, the works of my hands, my assets, my land, my building. I declare I will finish whatever I have put my hands to, and whatever I have imagined to do and accomplish, it shall be done in my lifetime without fail. Say, I will lack nothing and want nothing, for the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I lack nothing. I want nothing. I have abundance. I walk in abundance and in plenty. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and place your offerings. Tithes, first fruits, on the altar. And God bless you. My hands are blessed with the blessings of the Lord. Come on. Two things I like to correct quickly. I hear that a lot of people are saying that Papa said you shouldn't have a wedding. I didn't say that. That's not what I said. I said, don't go begging for money for wedding. If you don't have money for wedding, don't force to do a wedding. Just do simple blessings. Eh? And the customary, do that. But if you have saved and you have money for wedding and you have money to maintain the marriage, have your wedding. But if you have to go around begging for money to have a wedding, don't be a beggar and don't marry a begging husband. Oba, women, brothers, if the man hasn't saved, when he says one to my, ask him, how much have you saved? If he says he hasn't saved anything, tell him, go save and then come and let's talk. Stand. So let me correct that. Then, if you are traveling, wherever you are going to, in the times we live in, Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8, say, whenever I leave my house, I will travel in safety, and I'll return in safety in one piece, whether by air or by land or by water. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from now and forevermore from all evil. Say, I will go in the name of Jesus in safety. I shall return without fail in safety and in one piece. In the name of Jesus, if you believe it, put your hands together and give thanks. Amen. It's a confession you must make. It's a confession. Because there are contradictions. There are other voices saying something different. So you must proclaim what God has said. With your hands lifted up, say, we command and entrust all travelers, domestic and external, home and abroad, to you, Heavenly Father, and we deploy and engage the warring angels to go to work, to keep, preserve, Grant them, extend to them, Lord, for these are the heirs of salvation. These are the redeemed of the Lord. Let them have angelic escort and protection in the air, on land and on water. Divine escapes, wherever they go, wherever they are, for they are your heritage. They are the redeemed of the Lord. And we say so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for divine preservation, escapes, and journey mercies against all contradiction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. With your hands lifted up, let's worship. Let's worship. If you need prayers, they will stand in agreement with you. With your hands lifted up, I declare on authority that the Lord satisfy you with long life, show you his salvation. The Lord avenge you of every known and unknown adversary. The Lord be your shield and your glory and the lifter up of your head. May those who strive and contend with you openly and secretly be defeated. I declare, may double defeat be credited to the account of those who devise your hurt and your demise. As for you, the Lord grant you an upper hand. See the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in your new identity. Walk in the consciousness, and the awareness that you are the redeemer of the Lord, that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Keep saying it and keep saying it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, there shall no evil befall thee. No plague will come near you. In the air, on land, and on water, the Lord disappoint all your fears. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and anyone that takes your name and your picture anywhere for evil, let it backfire on them. Backfire on them. The Lord deliver you and your children and your household. And let goodness and mercy be your companion all the days of your life. Be more than a conqueror. Remember, you are an overcomer. In Jesus' name, as the choir sings, you are blessed. See you on Wednesday Bible study, Friday all night.
You have been listening to the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams on the Archbishop Nick podcast. Today's message has been a powerful reminder that we cannot serve two masters. To walk in the fullness of our inheritance, we must resolve the contradictions in our walk with God. For more life-changing resources, follow Archbishop Nick on all socials and digital streaming platforms. Remember to watch and pray and let your spirit take dominion over the flesh.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.